Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Story of the World, Vol. 3 Revised Edition by Susan Wise Bauer is a narrative world history book for children covering the early modern era, broadly from about 1600 to 1850. Part of the larger Story of the World series, it is designed to present history as an engaging story rather than as a dry collection of dates and facts. In fact, the book moves across continents and cultures, introducing readers to major rulers, conflicts, discoveries, and social changes that shape the modern world. Its tone and structure make it suitable both for reading aloud with younger children and for independent reading by older elementary or middle school students. The revised edition adds features that support comprehension, including a timeline, illustrations, maps, and a pronunciation guide, within the classical education tradition. This volume functions especially well as a history spine, giving students a chronological framework that can be enriched with activities, discussion, and supplementary reading. Its central purpose is to spark historical curiosity while building a coherent sense of how global events connect across time and place. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, history presented as an unfolding story. One of the book's most important features is its decision to teach history through narrative. Susan Wise Bauer does not organize the material as a textbook full of isolated facts. Instead, she tells events in a story-driven way that helps children follow cause, consequence, and human motivation. This approach matters because the early modern period can otherwise feel fragmented, with wars in Europe, trade in Asia, imperial expansion, and revolutions in the Americas often taught as disconnected subjects. In this volume, those subjects are woven into a continuous account. Children encounter rulers, explorers, soldiers, inventors, and ordinary peoples through episodes that are memorable and concrete. The result is not exhaustive coverage, but a guided tour through major developments that gives young readers a grasp of sequence and significance. This storytelling method also aligns with the needs of elementary-age learners, who often absorb information more effectively when it is attached to characters, places, and dramatic events. The book, therefore, serves as an introduction to historical thinking by making the past intelligible and emotionally accessible without abandoning factual structure or chronological order. Secondly, a global view of the early modern world. A second major strength is the book's broad geographic scope. Rather than limiting early modern history to England, France, or the future United States, Bauer moves across continents and presents the period as a worldwide story. Readers encounter European monarchs and revolutions, but they also learn about developments in Asia, the Ottoman world, colonial expansion, and cross-cultural encounters. This global structure reflects a key educational aim of the series, which is to show that history does not happen in separate national boxes. Political change in one region can influence trade, warfare, migration, and empire in another. For young readers, this widens the imagination and resists the narrow idea that world history is simply Western history with occasional side notes. The book helps children see that different societies were active participants in shaping the era. Even when the treatment is introductory, this inclusion matters. It gives readers an early framework for understanding interdependence, conflict, and exchange on a world scale. In a children's history book, that broad perspective is especially valuable because it builds habits of comparison and curiosity before students move on to more specialized or detailed study. Thirdly, chronology as the backbone of understanding. The book is built around chronological movement, and that structure is central to its usefulness. Early modern history includes monarchy, colonization, scientific change, revolution, and expanding trade, all unfolding over centuries. Children can easily become confused if these developments are taught as unrelated themes. Bauer instead gives readers a time-ordered path from one era to the next, helping them understand what comes before and what follows after. This is especially important in classical education, where chronology is treated as a foundation for later analysis. By seeing events in sequence, students can better grasp why revolutions emerged, how empires expanded, and how changes in one century prepared the ground for the next. The revised edition strengthens this framework with a timeline and other navigational aids, making the sequence more visible and easier to review. The maps also support chronological learning by linking events to place. Together, these features turn the book into more than a collection of interesting stories. They help children form a mental scaffold for future history study. That scaffold is one reason the book is often used as a core text rather than as a standalone final authority on the period. Fourthly, accessibility for mixed ages and different learning styles. Another important topic is the book flexibility. Story of the World, Vol. 3 is written so that it can function both as a family read aloud and as an independent reader for somewhat older students. That dual use helps explain its popularity among homeschoolers and parents seeking a literature-rich introduction to history. The prose is straightforward enough for younger listeners, yet substantial enough to give older children real information and structure. The revised edition supports this accessibility with illustrations, pronunciation help, and clear formatting, all of which reduce common barriers to historical reading. The availability of companion resources such as activity books, tests, and audiobook versions extends this flexibility further. Families can use the text lightly as a shared story, or more formally as part of a year-long curriculum with mapwork, narration, and review. This adaptability is not a minor feature. It reflects a practical understanding that children learn differently and that history teaching often needs to fit varying ages in a single household or classroom. The book therefore succeeds not only because of what it covers, but because it is designed to be teachable, repeatable, and usable in more than one educational setting. Lastly, an introductory spine rather than a complete historical survey, the final key topic is the book deliberate selectivity. Bauer does not attempt to provide an academically comprehensive history of 1800 to 1850. Instead, she chooses representative events, figures, and episodes that can introduce children to the shape of the period. This is one of the book's strengths, but it also defines its limits. The volume works best as a spine, meaning a central text around which parents or teachers can build deeper study. Its value lies in orientation. It gives young readers a coherent sense of the era, key turning points, and the existence of multiple cultures and historical forces. For that purpose, selective coverage is often more effective than overload. At the same time, older or more advanced students may need supplementation if they are studying topics such as economics, religion, political theory, or regional histories in greater depth. The book does not pretend otherwise. Its achievement is to make a large and complicated historical period understandable, memorable, and inviting. In the crowded field of children's history materials, this balance between clarity and scope is notable. It respects the intelligence of young readers while recognizing that first encounters with world history should build confidence before demanding specialization. In conclusion, Story of the World, Voltri Revised Edition is best suited for families, teachers, Pete, and homeschoolers looking for an engaging introduction to early modern world history for children roughly in the upper elementary to middle school range. It is especially useful for readers who want a chronological framework without the heaviness of a conventional textbook. Children gain a sense of sequence, geography, and cultural variety, while adults gain a practical tool for discussion, read-aloud sessions, and curriculum planning. The book can help students build historical memory, ask better questions about cause and change, and connect events across continents rather than seeing them as isolated national stories. Its practical benefits are strongest when paired with maps, narration, or the companion activity materials, but the main text also stands well on its own as an inviting first pass through the period. What makes it stand out in its category is the combination of narrative energy, global scope, and educational usability. Many children history books are either oversimplified or overly fragmented. Bauer strikes a more durable balance by creating a story-centered survey that is clear, structured, and respectful of young readers. As a foundation for later study, it remains one of the more recognizable and effective options in classical and home education history resources. If you would like to support Susan Wise Bauer, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.